All right, you're listening to the first broadcast of BME Radio and Tattoo Radio. We're coming to you from the tattoos.com headquarters, and we've got Paul Booth with us today. If you haven't seen Paul Booth before, you should head on over to darkimages.com while you're listening to this. And Paul, do you want to tell us a bit about your work?
I specialize in macabre black and gray. I'm the guy who does all the really creepy stuff. That's what I'm most known for.
And why do you focus on that?
That's where my heart is.
That's where your heart is. Your heart is black.
Twisted to the core.
Paul, it's probably safe to say that, especially in this genre of music, you're by far the most popular tattoo artist among the bands.
I guess I should start with saying my tattoo art carries that same aggression as heavy music, hard music. So most of the people, music-wise, that you know, band-wise, that know me, generally are the heavy music. Like, I mean, the Cranberries probably never heard of me, but Pantera.
Yeah, has, they're not in line.
Right, exactly. But I've tattooed, I've been on the road with quite a few bands. I've done Ozfest for the past 3 years, traveling with various bands. Tattoo Phil from Pantera quite a bit. A lot of death metal bands, 6 Feet Under, probably one of the most popular death metal bands going. Cold Chamber. I probably have as many or more bands that I haven't tattooed yet that I've talked to that would keep trying to hook up. I think the biggest problem is with my travel schedule. I cross paths with bands all the time.
Right.
And, you know, they'll call me and we'll try and hook up. They'll send me out their itinerary when they're coming through New York and I'm based. Or, you know, if I'm on the road, I'll call back. My manager will tell me this band's going to be here while you're there, you know, so I can try and hook up with them. Try and get something done. It's how, like, Deftones, Machine Head, a lot of bands like that, how we tend to hook up to do work.
Now you're not just tattooing them, you're doing actually the album covers for some of them as well.
Yeah, I did the 6 Feet Under cover, Maximum Violence, the last CD. I even sang on 2 songs on that one.
Oh, really?
Background vocals. My hobby is singing as well. So. So that's a lot of fun. Chris is doing an upper body suit. Chris Barnes, the singer.
What sort of image?
Cannibalistic demons ripping apart a human cadaver, going all the way around from a back piece to a full front piece. It's a complete wraparound scene from neck to waist. Mm-hmm.
When these guys come to you for work, do they leave it up to you, or?
Yeah, I'm pretty. I'm real fortunate in the fact that I've always made a point of demanding that my customer trust me. I make it real clear that my best work comes with freedom, artistic freedom. For me to stay interested in I've been tattooing 11 years. For me to maintain an interest in it, I have to have artistic freedom. I have to be able to express what's boiling in my brain. So, but I mean, we collaborate. It's not that I don't let them have input. I tend to have a knack for pulling out the dark side of people, bringing it to their skin.
You think your work is been evolving and changing over time, or is it just getting better?
Well, I hope so.
what I mean is, have you just been improving along the same theme, or have you been expanding into other areas as well?
I think the overall theme remains the same. I think I'm still searching for something I haven't found. Mm-hmm. I don't even know what that is. I just know that I have this drive of creating art that just goes beyond reality. And, you know, I want people to view it and just walk away feeling queasy or so disturbed or just seriously affect people emotionally. Mm-hmm. You know, to me, that's art. That's my art for me. It is a level deeper than just viewing it and going, oh, wow, that's cool, dude. You know? Mm-hmm. So that, to me, is real art.
Mm-hmm. Why do that rather than just what most tattoo artists do and try and create a technically or artistically solid piece? Why really hit someone hard with a tattoo?
Well, I don't view a tattoo as just a tattoo, you know, like a decal on someone's skin. To me, tattooing is probably the ultimate art medium. Living art, you know, it's really kind of a heavy concept. You know, if you're treating it as art, as it should be treated. As an artist, you're creating an image on a living canvas. So, I mean, my goal has always been to create art that has a life of itself. You know, and that's how I got into hitting the three-dimensional aspect of it head-on, to have to create an image that you could just reach into. Every image should be an experience rather than a billboard. To me, the purpose of art, like I said, is always about drawing some emotion out of people or expressing my emotion. And my client's emotion, expressing that through visual images. Now, art is expression. If you're not expressing anything, then you're not really doing art.
And how do you think a person is changed when they go from blank skin to dark imagery?
Well, I actually...
Is that a positive or negative? Or
well, on the surface, a lot of people view my work as negative. Mm-hmm. Those are generally the people that really don't get it, and my art really isn't for them. I focus on people that need to vent their aggression that the society has pumped them full of. I'd say the two main general customer types of mine are people that, like me, that want to express their dark side. Some to let everyone know how twisted they are, or they need to vent. And it kind of brings, I guess, their negative side to the surface, kind of allowing almost like a vent hole.
So in a way, you're protecting society through your art by diffusing.
Yeah, I'm reducing the number of serial killers out there. Because I'll tell you what, it keeps me from being one. If I didn't have this art, and my music, I would definitely be probably out there hacking people to bits.
Excellent. So, what are we listening to next?
Next, we have Ancient. Born in Flames. We'll be right back.
the music doesn't go one direction. It influences you a great deal as well.
Yeah. I music has plays a big role in my creative process. I integrate it a lot in my art. Mm-hmm. The next band that I have on deck here, 6 Feet Under, the song is Bone Saw, it's off Maximum Violence. I did the album cover for this one, and I sang on the song.
are we going to be able to hear you?
The chorus of the song, the word Bone Saw, the voice in the background is me. It's just back vocals, you know, it's not that big a deal, but it was fun as hell to do. And a little trivia about this one, if there's any 6 Feet Under fans listening to this show, the Bone Saw is actually written about my tattoo machine. When Chris came to me to get tattooed, he didn't have one. I did his first, and his first tattoo is this full upper bodysuit, so there's a guy really dope in full steam. At any rate, it was back when he was writing this album when I started this tattoo, and he left go on my machine, the Bone Saw, and was what initiated me singing on this album. He said, "You got to do back vocals." So, Bone Saw is my tattoo machine. So I get a real kick out of this one. So yeah, let's
excellent. Well, here's Paul Booth singing Bone Saw. I assume there's a clear satanic influence in your work. Is that
absolutely.
Is that real, or is that sort of tongue-in-cheek humor that you use to express your
No,
art?
That's as real as it gets. But I should really mention Satanism is not really how people, the general public that aren't familiar with it, think it is.
But your art certainly, it seems to express the stereotype of Satanism.
Yeah, but I use that specifically to bash the church.
Why?
Because that's really what Satanism is to me.
Yeah.
I don't follow an organized religion, so I'm not a member of any satanic groups or cults or anything like that. Satanism, for me, is basically a direct reflection of Christianity. It's anti-Christianity. I find that pretty much everything that's wrong in society today comes down to, I fault the church for it.
Mm-hmm.
I'll argue with anyone and win. But I'm very adamant about my belief patterns of you know, why things are the way they are. And I grew up Catholic. And a very
active in practice.
My family. I basically grew up with the fear of God, like, pounded into my skull, you know, Catholic school, nuns hitting me with rulers and humiliating me in front of my class, and priests scaring the crap out of me with, you know, be quiet or you'll burn in hell, you know, and fortunately, I was intelligent enough to finally realize what a crock of garbage it all is. It gave me issues that I really wish I didn't have, and I'm very bitter about that. I just get really, passionate about all of that. I usually, if people get me going on religion, if they catch me in the wrong time, I get kind of crazy about it. But at any rate, not to stray off the subject here too much, but when I was 15 years old, was when I denounced God, the Christian God.
That imagine was a big deal if you came from a Catholic family.
Yeah. I remember the moment the church brought me to it. My grandfather had died, and I was close to my grandfather, and you know, he'd be in church all week long. You know, he was one of those old Italian guys that was always in church, you know, and volunteering, you know. He was one of the ushers every day at Mass, and you know, he just totally volunteered all his time to the church because of his belief in God, you know. When he died, my mother and I went in there to let the church know that he died, and we wanted to have his name mentioned at Mass, and the nun, secretary, told me they required a $20 donation to say his name at Mass. And I was livid. My mother had to drag me out of there kicking and screaming. I was beyond angry. That was the last straw for me. And a lot of things happened before that, but that was it. Pushed me over the edge. Then I started digging deeper into things and learning more about, you know, all the bad things the church has done, you know, the wolf in sheep's clothing, you know, how they work really hard at the appearance of being righteous and taking care of the sick and the poor, yet the Vatican is surrounded by slums full of starving children, and you know, they sell one painting and they can feed the whole damn country. But let's not go there, because I'll talk all day about it. So
were you actually, I mean, did you actually have a real belief in God before?
I was really young, but
it was more like believing in Santa when you quickly figured
out it's not real. Yeah, exactly. You know, they pounded so much fear into me, I was afraid not to believe. So every year older I got, the more of a struggle it was to believe blindly. I can't believe in anything blindly. You know, I'm much more scientific than that. I was brought up to question things, take the time to smell the roses and ask why things are, you know. And the answers I would get from the church just were not satisfactory, you know. And I ended up finding my own answers that are satisfactory.
So you're basically sitting at atheism right now?
Yeah. Satanism is not about believing in a higher power. There is no... See, to me, there's no God, there's no Satan. There is no, you know, guiding force. Satanism is a philosophy, not a religion. That's one of the main things. And it's basically really, real quick in a nutshell, it's about giving love to those who deserve love and giving contempt to those who deserve contempt. Respect where respect is due. You know, whatever it takes to lead a decent life has always been what I say. You know, we have to share society with other people, you know, and, you know, we have to get along. So if some people need God to get along, that's cool, whatever, you know. I need to not have God to be able to get along, you know. And, you know, so the reason I've gone towards that philosophy, it's the way that I express my dislike for organized religion. Mm-hmm. It's not God that I hate. I wish I could believe in a God.
Yeah.
I wish there was a God. I really do, because it's a cool idea. But to me, it's not there. So I've always viewed the church as this manipulative hypocrisy that just damages people to no end. I mean, I know it's damaged me, and I know it's damaged everyone I know that is on the same wavelength as me, you know? And there's a lot of people like me out there, more than people realize. My imagery, I like offending Christianity because it's my way of giving it back to them. My contempt, my resentment, it's my voice. With, same with a lot of these bands, the music I listen to, they have the same. You know, it's all art, it's all expression, and it's all they're expressing their anger and pain that the church being the root of it, what they've caused in us. You know, that's really what it's about.
So people are really missing it when they just sort of...
Well, you know, the narrow-minded moral majority, you know, that, you know, people that sit on the fence and they're like, well, just in case there's a God, you know?
Well, I think a lot of people write off, you know, death metal and this style of art is just, you know, a bunch of messed up kids, and they don't realize that there's a lot deeper political message to it.
Right. Yeah.
What does if I can ask, what does your family think about you sort of doing art that's a real slap in the face to the way you were brought up?
Most of my family takes me with a grain of salt. They have a hard time arguing with me because a lot of them just don't discuss things with me. You know, I don't throw it in their face, they don't throw it in mine. They know not to open their mouth because I'm going to go off, you know, and they just assume, just turn a blind eye to it. I'm really only close to my mother as far as anyone in my family. That I'm an only child, and parts of my family are very religious, go to church a lot, and just basically, I think, scared of me, you know. They don't take the time. My mother's the only one who really is taking the time to understand what I'm about. And since she has, you know, she understands totally and supports me totally, you know. And it's cool because she's still Christian. She still believes in God, but she can't stand the church either. And I hear her argue with her friends, and she uses examples I've given her with them. It's great. Like, go, Ma, you know.
I think a lot of Christians will tell you that they believe in God, but they don't believe in the church.
Exactly. And I'm glad to see that, because I'm not trying to deny people their God. I'm just trying to get them to open their eyes and see that, you know, the church and God are two completely different things.
What are we listening to next?
Oh, next, Necrophagia, again, from Holocausto de la Muerte. This is Blood Freak.
It's a problem I had working with my father. All this bleeding. We'll be right back.
We'd started to talk about this before, Paul. You were saying that you use music to create a creative environment for generating art.
Actually, I do a seminar on brain theory at tattoo conventions, and one of the things I talk about is how the right brain conducive environment, how important that is to the creative process.
For someone that doesn't know at all what that means.
Right, well, basically, your creative flow. I listen to a lot of music that kind of enhances, that kind of feeds the side of your brain that where your creativity lies. And I kind of experiment quite a bit with my art, with music. If you were ever to visit my tattoo studio, it's basically, I got a smoke machine in my studio, you know, and like probably 100 candles on all the walls, and it's probably hell on earth. It's a very dark, creepy atmosphere.
Real different than the sort of hospital on
earth
that most
people
are. Yeah,
it's definitely not a boring tattoo studio. People sit in my chair, and wherever they look, there's something. There's the whole, it creates a mood. For the customer, the tattoo becomes an experience rather than just getting a tattoo. I mean, it's just a full-on, memorable experience. You know, every sound they hear, everything they see, it's like a whole theme, you know. And so it makes it more fun for them, even more relaxing, considering, of course, you know, the people that I am tattooing tend to like that vibe like I do, you know. So they get a lot of enjoyment out of it. For me as an artist, it creates an environment that shuts off the part of my brain that is anti-creativity, you know, and it kind of nurtures my creative flow. You know? And this next band, Holocaust Theory, is probably a good example of the kind of music you'd hear when I'm left to my own devices. Whether I'm sitting home watching a horror movie, which my house is just as creepy, if not more so, than my studio, you know.
And your house is not just an apartment in the city.
No, I live up on a mountain behind a ski resort in the woods, my little sanctuary. Give you an example of how my house is real quick. My dining room consists of a 40-year-old embalming table from a hospital that probably had about 50,000 to 60,000 people dissected on it. Big pipes and hoses. And of course, I sterilized it. It's got a church pew on either side of it, running down each side of it. Big stainless steel, just ominous table. The cathedral ceiling over it is just chains everywhere with rubber body part props hanging from it and church chandeliers over the table. This is the kind of music you'd hear while you're sitting at my embalming table eating dinner in my house or in my shop when I'm drawing on you, you know. It's not really music so much, it's more like poetry to a beat, real dark. It really adds to an environment, you know. I mean, you'd have to really be in the environment to really get everything out of the music, you know, and then vice versa.
So if I forced you to listen to Zamfir, do you think that would drastically change?
I would short circuit. Yeah, definitely. I'm open-minded to music, you know.
Would it change the nature of your work, do you think? Or?
Well, really, I think the music is a reflection of what's inside of you, so...
So you just use it to help turn you on?
I would think, I don't think it would change my work. It would probably, it would probably cause me to have a harder time venting, which would cause me to be more aggressive and more violent. Like, I would no longer have that venting, you know what I mean, through music.
So it would take away from the clarity?
It would, I would probably end up getting even more psychotic, you know, just because it would make me a little bit more disturbed, because it would build up inside of me.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, let's find out what keeps you sane. Paul, your flash is probably hanging in every tattoo studio in North America, both legitimately and copying from person to person,
oh,
I'm
boy,
sure.
The bootlegs. I can't believe how much my flash gets bootlegged. But it's on eBay like every other month, you know.
But not by you.
No. No, I've even seen it on Light Switch. Some guy was selling Light Switch plates on eBay with flash designs imprinted on them. It's unreal. I mean,
as much as they're ripping you off, at least it means that you've got fans.
Yeah, yeah, you know, it's not so bad. I mean, I bitch about it, but, you know, it's just that if my art is desirable, I mean, that's flattering. You know? Mm-hmm.
One of the things about your flash that makes it unique is it's very clearly your artwork. And one of the things I was wondering about is how do you feel that, because your flash is so accessible to any tattoo artist, that there's piles and piles of bad tattoo artists putting on bad copies of your work?
I don't really quite view it that way. I mean, yeah, I've seen some bad ones. Even the worst one, I still see it as someone that's been inspired by it to try and do it. I know my style's difficult to do. It's not intentional, it's just from what I've seen, I don't see a lot. Because, I mean, really, anyone that is capable of doing it generally is an artist at the level that wants to do their own art anyway, you know. But I remember, you know, back in high school, I would sit there and I would reproduce Boris and Vallejo and Frank Izzetta stuff and try and do Giger stuff and, you know, just to learn from it, you know. And I kind of look at it like that. I mean, it's hard for me to look at myself on a level with those guys, but I know that to the people that are trying to do the work that, you know, they're kind of looking at me like that, and you know, if they're getting inspired by my art and they want to try and do it, man, that's awesome. You know? And
so even if they're technically not,
yeah, I mean, even if it's a bad job,
it's
still a compliment.
The spirit of your art is still coming through.
Yeah, yeah. You know, to me, it's just more proof that there's just that many more people out there that have this need to bring their dark side to the surface.
You were saying you were doing art in high school. Is that where this sort of all germinated?
Oh man, I have notebooks from second grade with skulls on them. I think I've been demented longer than I even know.
So this may not even be learned behavior. It might be something deeply wrong with your internal wiring.
It could be, yeah. I don't really know. I mean, my doctor told me I'm mildly schizophrenic, so I don't know if I was always that way or not, but I've come to be that way.
So this is your medication to control.
Yeah,
that.
Yeah. Among others. You know, I come from that typical dysfunctional family, you know, parents divorced at a young age, and, you know, I was never as close to my father as I ever wanted to be. And being an only child, you know, I was one of those kids with imaginary playmates, you know. Now I have imaginary friends, and we argue all the time, but, I've just always been dark, you know. My earliest childhood memories are not pleasant, you know, and, it's weird, you know.
You think you're going to stay dark, or is this something that you...
I tell you, I wish I could. I wasn't, you know. I mean, it's not like, you know, I know it's hip and cool and trendy to be crazy, but, man, I would much rather have it together.
I mean, if you could recreate yourself, then where would you put yourself? Would you be an executive?
I would be right where I am. Yeah. I would be who I am. And it took me a long time. I've thought about that and been asked that. And I can honestly say that as doom and gloom of a person I am, and as much as I wish I was like a bit more on a sane or more in touch with reality, I'm not so sure I really truly want to be, because I kind of feel that I really do have something to say. A lot of people like me that have had an internal struggle all their lives tend to have wisdom that these normal people don't have. Mm-hmm. And I really enjoy the wisdom that I have. I'm very in touch with it, I guess. I don't want to get too artsy-fartsy, you know, but I mean, like, I wouldn't give up my wisdom for a thing, you know, and if it means having to accept unbalances, then so be it, you know. I'll live with that, you know. I'm a voice for people like me and people that get it, you know, people that understand where I'm coming from. I guess I almost feel an obligation to continue on the route I'm going.
So you're expressing it all right now through tattooing, but you've got a CD coming out sometime.
I'm working, yeah, it's in the planning stages. I mean, I'm basically, I'm a singer, And I know a lot of musicians, a lot of the bands I listen to and friends with, all of them have expressed a major interest in doing a project with me. So I'm going to basically put out a CD, hopefully next year, of would have guest musicians on it, and I would basically be doing the vocals on all the songs, and I would just have different, you know, band members join in for different songs and just have them do this crazy compilation of just brutal, psychotic, dark stuff, you know, and fronted by me. Just, I don't even care if no one buys it, you know, I just want to do it, you know, it's been a dream, like, forever for me, so. And since I'm not a musician anymore, I can play drums in high school, but that's about it. A little bit of keyboards, but I'm limited, you know, I'm definitely not, like, mainstream quality musician, so.
You think you'd ever give up tattooing for another form of expression?
No. I mean, I have many other forms of expression, but I can't give up tattooing. To me, that's the ultimate, you know, that's the ultimate form of art for me, and I will always tattoo. I need to tattoo. I do need, as much I need to be able to express myself differently, you know, doing, like, this tattoos.com office is my kind of three-dimensional set design kind of art. I'm really into taking rooms and turning them into other worlds, you know. And
everyone listening to the interview can see the pictures of it right now on the webpage as well. Do you want to talk a bit about what you did in here?
We wanted to create like an alien chamber, you know, and this is my, I wish I did this in my studio, because this is better. Each one gets a little better, you know, and I love this room. And you know, if I could, like, sit in this room and just listen to music and chill out, you know, and draw or paint or something, or sculpt, you know, this is the place to do it.
So not only are you a tattoo artist, but you're also a interior decorator for the demented.
Yeah. So Damien at tattoos.com calls me a faux finisher of the macabre.
So what are we listening to next?
Oh, let's see. Next, Opeth.
almost out of time, but since this is an internet show, we should talk a bit about Paul's work there. You're definitely one of the first wave of artists to come online. When was that? That was
96. Damien came to me.
That's Damien from Tattoos.com.
Yeah, Tattoos.com, and approached me about doing a website and getting involved with Tattoos.com. I was all for it. I mean, I'm a tech boy. I'm like, yeah, I knew then internet is definitely going to explode, you know. And it was funny because, you know, Damien, at that time, he was going around tattoo conventions trying to, you know, promote the whole concept of tattoo art on the web.
And tattoo artists aren't really traditionally technically with it.
Right.
With the crowd. You know, so I'm sure you guys faced some resistance.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it was, you know, I was walking around talking to friends about, you know, building a website and stuff. And, you know, people were laughing at us, you know. I mean, I remember, you know, me and Damien were like, by some people we were scorned, you know, like, you know, like, yeah, whatever, the internet, yeah. And we're like, all right, well, keep laughing, because, you know, things are going to happen, and you can just be left in the dust, you know. You know, I started learning HTML and JavaScript, computer graphics, and, you know, so Damien pretty much brought me into the internet thing, and I ended up designing my site, and...
Where are you guys taking that? Last night you did a live broadcast?
Yeah. The first live tattoo and chat room, it was just awesome. You know, it was... I felt like I was on TV, you know?
You guys had more visitors than the server can handle.
Yeah, we crashed and we froze up the server, yeah. The log files exploded. I mean, people couldn't get in the chat room. Live feed was slowed down, you know, so it was like the pictures slowed down. So, I mean, it was the first time, so, you know, working the bugs out. The next time. And I'm just kind of talking while I'm working, and Damien's typing for me, and it was the most fun I've had in a while, you know, and it was really cool. I can't wait to see where that goes, you know. I know that every month they're going to do, you know, another artist.
And your own webpage as well is continuing to expand.
Yeah. It's my webpage. For a while there, it wasn't getting updated like it should. Now I've got friends help. Now I'm working on a new site that's just going to blow away my existing site.
What's that going to be?
I'm separating it. The dark stuff in my site, like the more offensive
God jokes
stuff. Yeah, the God jokes. So I get so much Christian hate now for that. It's great. Yeah, the new site, of course, will have my Christian hate mail favorites page, you know, and sectioning it into basically three areas. There's going to be the dark side, you know, where my art, you know, what's behind my art, you know, the philosophy, everything for, like, the people that agree with where I'm coming from, you know, something for them. And then there's going to be, like, the hype site, which is just, like, for the Paul Booth fans that, you know, are interested in, like, what bands I've tattooed and what trophies I may have won or whatever, you know. Just, I call it hype because, you know, I don't take it all too seriously, you know. Just, you know, info, you know, and that sort of thing. And then the third area is going to be the Creeporium, which is my store in New York City, which is my little slice of hell on earth. It's like a retail... like a horror curio shop. So all kinds of things in there. It's like a, you know, all macabre related. So there'll be an online catalog for all that stuff. And we have a newsletter, The Last Breath, on the site that's going to be continue to evolve, where people can just join the mailing list and get all the last rites info they want, you know, from my rantings to exclusive new merchandise, you know, and then kind of our inner circle, I guess. So I want to kind of create a place for people like me to come visit.
Excellent. So everyone should check Dark Images semi-regularly and see.
Over the next month or two, it's going to be major changes.
Finish up with some more necrophagia.
Yeah, necrophagia.
And you have any last warnings you want to send out to people, or? they know what to think.
Think for yourself. That's it. We'll see you next time. Cadaverous Screams of My Deceased Lover by Nicholas.